Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thank you, Audrey. We could not do it without you. We always say that, and it is the truth. You are the technical expert, as well as many other things. Welcome to the Jumble Justice Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Keith Haley. Glad you tuned in tonight. We're going to do a little history again tonight. I love criminal justice history. Write about it once in a while. And we're going to do another Texas Ranger show. These were the live radio show, or radio shows that were done in the 1940s. And I think there's probably, oh my gosh, 100 of them that was done. That would have been a lot of shows, at least 2 or 3 years worth of shows. And they starred Joel McRae. And they're actually from the case files of the Texas Rangers, kind of like Dragnet years ago was supposed to be from the actual police files. So anyway, we'll listen to another one of those tonight. It's called Open Range. And very interesting, and I think I mentioned before when we played one or two of these that I have a couple book chapters in one of my books called Texas Crime, Texas Justice, about the Texas Rangers, and a very interesting organization, and there's a little battle about who's the oldest law enforcement agency in the United States, whether it's Texas Rangers, whether it's the Federal Park Service, Pennsylvania State Police, it goes on and on, but we won't get into that tonight. The only people here tonight, everybody's on vacation. It's Mike Sorrento and Audrey England and me. So that's all you get tonight. Purpose of the show is what it always is. We talk about some news, and we will not, other than a line or two comment, we will not talk about the Trayvon Martin case, tragic as it was, and the Zimmerman verdict. We won't talk about that case. I've heard so much stupidity expressed about that case, dumbness about the criminal justice process, not understanding that, not understanding how there's numbers of jurisdictions, federal, state, local, and certainly confusion about what is self-defense and what stand your ground law. We won't get into any of that tonight, and I'm sure there's more information coming about this. This show is dedicated to our police, courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who are working very difficult. And I just heard, I guess they're working real hard in Detroit. You saw that Detroit declared bankruptcy today, and Detroit's population is down to something like, I think, 700,000. It used to be over like 2 million. And it said that the average response time to a police call in the United States is like 11 minutes. And the average response time to a police call in Detroit is 54 minutes. So don't count on the police to rescue you from whatever dire strait that you're in. And police do more than just respond to shootings. They deliver babies. They do all sorts of things. But can you believe that? 54 minutes, almost an hour for the police to respond. You know, I'd like to go up and look at Detroit, but sometimes I see the pictures and I'm not sure I want to do that. I'm sure there are fine things about Detroit, but anyway, it's a sad thing that that's going on. And we have to admire those criminal justice professionals that are hanging in there and still doing the work that needs to be done. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and by the way, they kind of canceled us last week, and I couldn't get an explanation, Blog Talk Radio, why this thing was canceled, and said my thing was up at the end of August or whatever. And then I finally browsed around after I, you know, sulked about it for a couple of days, and they said I could only broadcast beyond the prime time. So I said, what the heck is wrong with that? You know, I've got four listeners at least. I thought it was based on that. But anyway, what happened was they raised the price. So if you have the beginning premium range, they raised it $10 more dollars a month. So I went ahead and paid that, and we're back on for 9 o'clock. I'm sure you're very, very pleased. And remember, you can get your show. I just saw on the website yesterday, there are now 188,000, yes, 188,000 show hosts on Blog Talk Radio. And they say that you can sign up and get a show going in like 3 minutes or something like that. So if you want a show, get your own. You don't have to listen to all this business tonight. We're going to do our usual thing. Blonde joke. I got a blonde joke. Emily's night. Here's the blonde joke. One blonde was fighting with another blonde, and she finally told her, she says, you know, why don't you stop dyeing your hair blonde and see what it's like to live as a redhead? See what it's like to live as a redhead. And we do know that redheads are sometimes discriminated against, so let's remember that and don't do any of that yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, because of the high crime and all the shooting that's been going on in Chicago, we're going to play the High Gun Control's public service announcement about turning in your handguns and hoping that our radio station goes far. If it does, it goes worldwide, and we hope that people in Chicago will come down and turn in their guns.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Thank you very much, Ohio Coalition. And I don't know if we did this radio. I think that's one of the shows I had to cancel. But you saw where the California school system, one of them, was actually having a gun buyback. Maybe I did talk about that. But anyway, it's a gun buyback program for squirt guns. I'm not kidding. For squirt guns and pop guns. Yes, I'm not kidding. I remember when I was a kid back in the Ice Age that I could go to school and wear a pistol in a holster, and they were cap guns, but I wasn't allowed to shoot caps on the playground. But we were allowed to play cops and robbers out on the playground, and it didn't turn out too bad. I don't think crime got real bad till a number of years later, but isn't that absolutely insane? All right, here's a green tip for tonight. It is real hot up here in northwest Ohio and all over east of the Mississippi and some other places. So here's the real test of your loyalty to the green movement. Turn off your air conditioner and your fans. That's our green tip for tonight. Think of the energy that would be saved, and our planet could go on for, you know, at least 13, 14 more years as a result of that. Well, let's take a look at some of the news, and then I'm going to talk about a couple of books here that I'm reading that you might be interested in. But the news is interesting tonight, and again, we're done with the Trayvon Martin case. We don't talk about that case. Everyone else is. This is the Immigration Customs and Enforcement Unit, and the National ICE Council President, Chris Crane, was explaining President Obama's actions on immigration and what Chris called his blind eye to illegal immigration has made it nearly impossible for the ICE agents to enforce the law. Isn't that incredible? What he's talking about, they're not having them go out and looking for illegal immigrants anymore. They are having them going to prison and asking prison inmates, adult inmates, and they have to ask them basically, do you qualify for President Obama's DREAM Act? That means you can stay here. That you can stay here at the immigration, you know, I mean, you don't have to go home. You won't get deported. And they don't require them to give any kind of proof, a transcript or anything like it. We can't detain them for investigation to substantiate their claims. We simply have to release them to the street. They walk out the back door of the jail as dreamers. In other words, as convicted felons, that's about 30% of our federal prison population, they can stay in the United States legally. Now, is that, I mean, come on, is that something that we want? Is that real? I don't think so. I don't think we want that. I mean, I absolutely can't. I can't believe that one. Did you know the Transportation Security Agency, that when you go to the airport and you happen to park in a valet parking spot, and you take off on your flight, let's say you're doing a round trip, and you come back, guess what you'll find in your car? A little note that says the TSA has searched your car. Isn't that incredible? The TSA has searched your car. A woman says she had no warning whatsoever that someone was going to search her car after she left to catch her flight. When she came back to valet parking, she found out that, and she called, and she said, what in the world's going on? He said, you have a right to search my car? And they said, yes, we can do that. We can do that. She said, well, do you search all the cars in the parking lot over? She said, no, because if there was some kind of bomb or something on there, the valet parking, which was closest to the airport buildings, would be the most dangerous if a bomb went off in that. But can you believe that? So you come back and you find out your car's been searched. One of these days we'll figure out how some of these other countries do the searching. And I don't know whether it's a trend anymore, but there are like 25, 30 airports in the United States that have their own security. And they're allowed to do that as long as it meets a certain kind of standards. But that is just incredible to me. Here's a good one. We now have a new national government center. Remember the Center for Disease Control? That turned out to be the Centers for Disease Control. It kept adding centers. I don't know how many centers there are now. Well, we now have a National Center for Campus Public Safety within the Department of Justice. I feel so much better about that. I'm showing people this week in an online class how safe college campuses are. There's some, we have had a few tragedies, but also they're as safe as any place on the planet, college campuses. And but now we have a new center, and now Congress shall fully commit to this important issue by passing legislation to permanently support the center. Thank you for paying your taxes. Prior administrations talked about safety issues, but President Obama is now going to have the Center for Campus Public Safety. And that means if you have a center and you have a Congress behind that, there's going to be what? Standards. The second the center can advance college safety standards that are grounded in science. Do people in the federal government pay attention to science? Oh, I don't know. First, it can help and create and articulate national standards. Got to remember, everything must be national. We must be exactly alike. And we're doing it in education with course syllabi and teaching reading and grades going on and on and on. We have to be exactly alike, and that's so important. I think. Here's another interesting news story. Pay attention to this one, folks. A woman has a guy knock at her door. And this is in, I think it's Fauquier County, wherever that is. Is that Virginia? I'm not sure. Anyway, then men kept coming to her door. And what happened is that she kind of signed up for like a dating site or something like that. And these guys used her name and put it in sex sites and all kinds of junk. And these guys started showing up at her door. And one guy broke through a thing. The 64-year-old retired protocol usher for the Department of Defense, she lost her husband in 2009. The woman asked not to be named for fear of continued harassment. Then she met Kenneth Coogan, a film preservationist at the Library of Congress on a dating site in 2010. Like her, the 61-year-old worked for the government and also recently lost his spouse. It seemed like a good match. I'm going to shorten the story. They used the barbecue grill. They shared ashtrays. They had all kinds of stuff. He was a Neanderthal type of man, the woman said. Anyway, he starts passing her name around. All these, it's a long story. And when she logged onto Craigslist in the days after the man showed up at her home, she found ad after ad. They had increasingly filed titles that read, "Rape Me and My Daughters," on Craigslist. I didn't know Craigslist would do something like that. I've never been on Craigslist in my life and don't plan to. That's a woman. Isn't that Angie that's always advertising Craigslist? But just absolutely incredible. Let's take a look at this one, and I'll talk about some books. We have some shoppers that are surprised to find out that as they come through the doors of their places, like Nordstrom, they want to learn more about how the company is tracking them, the kind of information that e-commerce sites like Amazon have in spades. But when Nordstrom posted a sign telling customers it was tracking them, shoppers were unnerved. They said, "We did hear some complaints, but most of them kind of ended. But Nordstrom's experiment is part of a movement by retailers to gather data about in-store shoppers' behavior and their moods using video surveillance and signals from their cell phones and apps to learn informed as varied as their sex, how many minutes they have, their facial expressions in terms of liking certain products and things in the store. I mean, what in the world is going on? I mean, is this, how long will people put up for this? Or like the people say, Catherine Albrecht said in her book, that people that promote spy chips, these radio frequency identification chips where these stores and all kinds of places use them, they know it's too complicated for the ordinary person to understand, so they don't make any difference. Plus, they're too busy tweeting to understand anyway. Don't get me started on tweeting. Gee, wait a minute. I enjoyed that bowl of chili I had for supper. I'm going to tweet the world and let them know about it. Can you believe what these nuts put on their Twitter accounts? Unbelievable. This is kind of interesting. Missouri is the first, Missouri schools will be the first in the nation encouraged to teach first graders gun safety. And the course is sponsored by the National Rifle Association. Isn't that interesting? The Eddie Eagle Gun Safe Program is going to be taught in Missouri schools. And I think that's, as opposed to being nuts about guns, why not teach people the proper thing about it? Well, that's it for the news tonight. Let me shift over here to a couple of books. I just got this one in the mail yesterday, and this is by Chris Kyle. He's America's most famous sniper. He's killed more people than anyone else. And then in, I think, February of this year, he was teaching some veterans. He his heart was in helping veterans and their post-traumatic stress syndrome, all that. He was taking them out for some shooting, and one of these guys killed him and his colleague. Can you believe that? But this guy is just super great. But he was writing a book. His first book, of course, was about the Navy SEAL, the sniper, which was him. And he'd killed more people than anyone else. But this one is called American Gun, A History of the United States and 10 Firearms. And it is really interesting. I love his, but he looks at 10 guns. I won't read them all, but the American Long Rifle, also known as the Kentucky Rifle. And he takes you back in history where this thing was actually used. For example, they used the long rifle to kill the leaders in the British troops. And the British troops were very well organized, fought very well. They did all these really neat things, but if you shot their leaders, then they couldn't do that. And they used the Kentucky Long Rifle. But anyway, there's 10 different guns, starting way back with the Kentucky Long Rifle and ending with the M16, the M16 rifle. There are about five revolvers, and the rest of them are rifles. But if you like history, and this is a history of the United States pulled through the story of these 10 firearms, I think you'll enjoy this. The other one I got is a social engineering. You're starting to hear people, some young people, talk about social engineering. But social engineering is the art of kind of understanding and manipulating people. And computer hackers are big social engineers. I could give you some scans that they use, but I won't because it'll take too long. But a very interesting book. A lot of people are jumping into social engineering. So what it really means, the book teaches you even how to read with pictures, how to read people's facial expressions in terms of whether you're legitimately conning them or not. And it shows you how to get into different computer systems, meet some guy at the coffee shop, and, you know, that kind of stop in when he's not there and drop a USB thumb drive there, and somebody will take that and stick it in their computer, and boom, they already have access to a whole corporation's computer systems. But it shows you how to be a crook. The book I'll be talking about, some guys in prison already know all this social engineering stuff. I'm a con artist. And I get away with it. But if you be interested in that, if you are interested in that, the book is by Christopher Hadnagy. That's Hadnagy. And it's called Social Engineering, The Art of Human Hacking. Human hacking, that's getting inside of somebody and making them think that you're a legitimate person. And then they end up taking things and money, et cetera, from you. So Social Engineering, very interesting book. Highly recommended by Kevin Mitnick, probably the world's number one hacker. Who turned legal. Anyway, I didn't realize how developed this whole idea is, and there's all kinds of stuff you'll get from the book in terms of websites and some useful things that you can use, too, that are perfectly clean, where you can store data, which I never knew existed, like Basket. I never used Basket before. Maybe perhaps some of you have actually done that. But anyway, it sounds like a really interesting book. Now, one more thing. Have you ever been to the Bicycle Museum of the United States? It is in a very pleasant little town around St. Mary's, Ohio, but it's New Bremen. And if you go into New Bremen, this company or this town, biggest employer, I think, is this Crown Company. And they make forklifts and all kinds of things. But what a beautiful village. I think it's probably under 5,000 people. A downtown that is absolutely spotless. But in there is the Bicycle Museum of America. And it's three floors of hundreds of different kinds of bikes you can't even imagine. You think you understand bikes? Don't believe it. When you go there, I saw bikes that had legs with boots on instead of wheels. And I saw bikes that had shaft drives as opposed to chains, and some chains, quote unquote, were rubber. I didn't know that. And you can see all these bikes, and then there's a store down the street, the Crown Store. But you can go to the Bicycle Museum of Ohio on the internet. That's Bicycle Museum of the United States. Just Google that, and it is worth your trip to get out and take a look at. And the place is just fantastic. The people were so kind to take you around and show you all these things, showed you a quick video in the museum. But that when the Chicago National Museum for Bikes went out of business, this Crown Company in New Bremen bought out the whole thing. They have thousands of bikes. They can only display 300 or 400 at a time in these three floors. But they bought the whole thing out and moved it to New Bremen, Ohio. So if you got time to do that, you know, a little summer vacation, take a little trip down there. It's off of 75, down near Lake St. Mary's on Route 274, I think is what it is, number 7 Monroe Street. That's one of the main street down downtown. It's beautiful. And then there's the canal there, too. The famous canal is actually in that town. And there's a bike trail that goes like 14 miles north out of the downtown and I think like 3 miles south or something like that. But, boy, you will not believe the kinds of bicycles. I mean, every variety imaginable, and numbers of wheels, and, well, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to go back when I've got more time to take a look at it. Well, that's it for the business tonight. Why don't we go ahead and listen to A Tale of the Texas Rangers, and this one that we're going to listen to tonight is called, whoops, missed it there, is called The Open Range. And this starred Joel McRae, and these were radio shows in the 1940s, and they lasted just about a half hour, and this is actual history. So here we go with The Open Range, Tales of the Texas Rangers. Thank you.
this National VD's Week. Yes, it's National VD's Week, and VD presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in the Wheaties Big Parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Tonight's case, The Open Range.
It is August 4th, 1948. Maury Buckland and son Dave are driving across their ranch in a Jeep, dropping off salt cake for their cattle.
Not the last stop,
Buck.
Yeah. Well, this one here is.
What's that, Buck?
The last salt cake we dropped here is hardly touched. Look at it.
Huh? Why, yeah. No point in leaving another one.
Usually quite a few head around here. Wonder why they're not touching it. Oh, somebody could be running them off.
Reckless, boss. It's kind of out of date, I think. Maybe there's a break in fence down by the old road.
Yeah. Here. Well, drive around the cottonwoods and have a look. There's a break. We can fix it right now.
I have to get back and get horses, though, if we want to pick up the stray.
Yeah. We'll be able to see the fence now as soon as we get over this rise.
Hey, Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul, a big truck down there. What's the name? It's one of our trucks.
Oh, that's what's been happening to him. Speed it up. I'll kick my rifle in the back
seat. You're going to see it, son.
You guys better stay right where you are.
Me.
I'll get through for this.
Johnson immediately called the Texas Rangers and Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case. What are you looking for, Ranger?
I thought we'd find some truck tire markings here, Sheriff. Sounds plenty hard, except for the dust settle on top. That'll hold a tractor. Hey, look.
Just a big, wide rock.
Yeah, probably some brush hung from the tailgate of the truck. Wipe the tread right out behind him. Let's go through the sand.
Yeah. Operation right about here.
Plenty of cattle tracks, but no footprints.
Wiped out their tracks like they did with the truck.
probably dragged branches behind them. You can see why they were here, though. Tobacco crumbs and paper where they ground out their cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's like 15 or 20 head they run off from the marks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go back to the car for a second. How did the Butler's brand ever?
Just a simple letter L. Butler's wife's name was Lou. You know it's that brand that's been registered.
I don't believe it ever was, Ranger.
Why?
Down at the radio call at KPXA in Austin. Unit 10 to KPXA. Unit 10 to KPXA.
KPXA to Unit 10. Go ahead, Unit 10.
Unit 10 requests headquarters to ask all commission houses to be on lookout for marketing of any cattle carrying letter L brand or any altered brand that might have been made to cover letter L.
Will do, Unit 10.
May be part of stock stolen from Buckler Ranch on 8-4. Notify Unit 10 if any lead turns up. Unit 10, 10-4.
We'll keep
you
in the 10
informed. Good idea, that's all. Might get a lead.
Yeah. When we get through here, I want to go into the hospital and see Dave Buckler. He might just be able to describe that. Anyway, what do you got? A whole cigarette lying right here near this bush. Scorched. Somebody tried to light it but didn't finish. It's matchbox lying in the bush. Whatever happened, it made a fella forget about his cigarette. Must have been when the Bucklers came over the hill. Fella saw him, threw the cigarette and matches down just as he was getting ready to light up.
Yeah, that could be, all right.
Half the matches are still in the book. Ones that are missing are all torn off from the left side of the book.
So?
So the man who had this book of matches is left-handed. Let's get into the hospital.
No, Ranger. I'm right-handed, so is Trot. No, she couldn't have been honest.
Just making sure. Can you describe any of the stock they made off with, Buckler?
Well, yeah. Most of them were white face. But there was one of the calves that had a mottled face.
Mottled, huh?
Yeah.
Good. That helps.
My father's such a good guy, Ranger. I wish I could climb out of here and help you find those dirty...
Can you give me any kind of a description of the man?
No. We never got a good look at him.
A couple of days went by, then a week. There was no sign of the Buckler cattle with the L brand. I went back to headquarters to see Captain Stinson.
No sign of those cattle, huh?
Not ahead, Captain.
Well, they must be afraid to unload them so soon after a killing.
That means they'd have to vendor all to the brands and put them out to graze. I don't think they'd want to be too close to them for fear of being spotted.
Neither do I, Jace. That's why I've got an idea. Ever think of trying Camp Hood?
No, but I should have. It's a perfect spot for them. 35 square miles of free grazing land.
Yeah, ever since the Army deactivated the camp, a lot of ranchers have been using it. Our last check showed 15,000 head there, all kinds of brands. Happening up until the owners got enough to market them.
Sure. Buckler's cattle with altered brands covering that L could be waiting there for the thief to come back and get them whenever he wants.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a lot of territory and a lot of cattle for one man to cover. I'm going to have Bud Kurtz come in and go with you.
Kurtz? Fine.
The commission houses are still on the alert. We got them stuck on the selling end. Now it's up to you to find those cattle. They're the only key to the killer.
Bud Kurtz and I drove to Camp Hood. I loaded our horses and started to check the open range. In 3 days, we ran across more than 50 brands, all legitimate. But on the fourth day... Our folks are pretty busy, Kurt.
Yeah, cutting out a few calves up
there. Rain and fire and two men. You see us coming, keep your eyes peeled. They may be all right, but if they aren't, want to make sure of them.
Oh, all right.
Howdy, Mason.
Howdy.
You just have him go, Pete.
No, hold him for a minute.
What's the matter, Ranger?
Hey, Christian.
I'll get this fella.
Why?
What's wrong, Ranger? I ain't got no gun.
Just checking up. What's your brand?
Nothing on this fella.
Well, there's the iron right there.
Jay in the center of a box, huh?
Yeah. My name's Jack Stern. Got a ranch up in Box King. Brand's supposed to be Jack in the Box.
What are you doing with this stock?
Well, changing over to my brand.
From what? An L brand?
No, Square U. What's that over there? He added my brand on him yet. Take a look at it.
see. Yeah, I see. It's a square U now, but it was an L, and brand's been altered. Okay, let him go.
Find something, Jace?
Yeah. Where'd you get this shot?
I bought them last night. Anything wrong?
It was stolen a week ago.
I got a bill of sale for them, Ranger. Fellow who had them was cutting them out yesterday. He said he was saving the steers from market, but he wanted to sell the cash for $6 a head. So he wouldn't have to keep coming all the way back from Wallow to get them.
Came from Wallow, huh?
That's what he said. But here's the bill of sale. He was hitting right. Ranger, you must be making a mistake.
Maybe. How many cans did he sell you?
8 of them. Boys brought these two in here, and they're getting the others now.
Is there a model face in the bunch, friend?
Yeah, there is. Guess that settles it, Jake. This is Butler's stock.
Yeah, we better drive him out and have the van pick him up. Lab's going to examine the brand.
Now, what about my money?
Your claim's against the man who sold them to you, Vic Moran from Rollo. If that was his right name.
If he moved Sears out too, Jake, they should be turning up at a commission house in a day or so.
Yeah. In the meantime, Stan, I'll have to hold you and your boys in custody for possession of stolen property.
Ain't it enough that I lost $480?
Maybe it'll teach you not to pay cash for cattle until you've checked on them.
I didn't pay cash. I gave him rather a check.
A check? You mean he took a check from
him? Yeah. Hey, maybe I can stop paying.
You won't have to. We'll do it for you. Where's your bank?
Ranchers and Merchants Trust in Abilene. President knows me. His name's Chalmers.
All right, Stan. First, you bring him in so I can the town with a stop. I'll meet you there. I got to get to a phone and call that bank. I rode charcoal hard into town, found the phone, and put a call through for Mr. Chalmers, president of the bank in Abilene. But I was too late.
I'm sorry, Ranger, but Mr. Moran cashed that check shortly after we opened this morning.
Did you ask Moran for identification?
Yes, but he didn't have me on him.
And you cashed the check anyhow?
Well, he asked us to call his bank in Rollo for a reference to save him time. He even paid for the call.
You mean he actually comes from Rollo and they've heard of him there?
The Rollo State Bank said he has an account there.
But you don't actually know whether the man was Moran.
Well, after all, Ranger, when the man paid for the call to his own bank in Rollo.
Did Moran endorse the check?
Yes, it was endorsed in my bank.
Will you rush that endorsed check to my headquarters? I want to look at that signature. When the check came through, Chris and I left for Rollo, Texas. At Rollo, we went directly to Moran's bank.
Lake Moran? Why, yeah, I know him.
What's his signature?
I have to compare it with his signature card. Just a moment. M-A-S-M-A-U. Ah, here we are. Now we take both signatures and see.
They're not the same, Jace.
No. Thank you. Anytime, man. Come on.
What now, Jace? Well, that's Ranger, only about a mile out. We've got to drive out there and see him.
Oh, you won't have a drink, Ranger?
No, thanks.
So somebody's been using my name, huh?
Looks that way. You know who it might be?
No, but it's a cinch it wouldn't be a friend. Forgery's a mighty old trick.
I figure it may have happened 100 times before, Mr. Moran, but this is the first time we caught it.
I'm mighty glad you did. I don't like my name being mixed up with thieving and killing.
Of course, you'd never see the checks. They'd go right back to the man who made them out after they were cashed. Anybody ever forged your name to a check that went through your own bank?
Well, no. If anybody had and I knew it, I'd have taken a bullet to them.
No help here, Chase. No. Well, thanks for your cooperation, Mr. Moran. We can find our way out.
Hello, Mr. Moran.
You sure you won't take one of these before you go? I'm having another.
Oh, thanks.
Suddenly let us into a blind pass.
Huh?
I said Moran was no help. What's the matter with you, Chase?
I'm just thinking of that book of matches I found on the range out of Buckley's.
Ones that were dropped by somebody left-handed?
Yeah. I watched Moran pouring that drink for himself. He's left-handed, Kurt.
Well, that's mighty thin and circumstantial, Jace.
Sure, I know it is. Just a passing thought. I better call KTXA. Unit 10 to KTXA. Unit 10 back in service.
KTXA, Unit 10, I have a message for you.
Go ahead, KTXA.
Sir,
Cattle were there for an offer for sale this afternoon at Tully Commission House, Fort Worth. Cattle inspector reports brand might have been L brand from Butler Ranch.
Did Commissioner get name and address of seller?
Seller refused to have check mailed. Said he would pick it up tomorrow after stock was weighed right. Dealer's name is Vic Morath, Rollo, Texas.
Just left Morath at home in Rollo. Unit 10 and Unit 6 proceeding to Fort Worth. We'll be there when Commission House opens in the morning. Unit 10, then 4.
Got a long drive ahead of us, Chase.
Yeah? This is the break we've waited for.
Not so important now, is it, that Morath happened to be left-handed?
No. Not now, it isn't.
In just a moment, we continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. It's National Wheaties Week everywhere. Even backstage in our studio here tonight. Sure it is. We're all buying and eating Wheaties this week. And here's living proof, the man who dramatizes Tales of the Texas Rangers, Mr. Joel Murtaugh. Right, Joel, are you done your Wheaties?
I sure am, Frank. And not only that, I've got Wheaties written into the breakfast script for Mrs. Murtaugh and our four kids, too. Seems like eating Wheaties is little enough to do for them when they do so much for us. Folks, I hope you feel that way, but even if you don't, try Wheaties once. Just to show if you like our shows, what do you say? After all, National Wheaties Week only comes once a year.
Thank you, Joel Murtaugh.
We reached Fort Worth during the night and examined the cattle in the Commission House stock. It was part of the Butler L. Brands, all right. All next day, Bud Kurtz and I were staked out in the Commission House office. The man impersonating Morath never showed to pick up his check.
Well, that's a wait again tomorrow, Chase.
I don't think so. He won't be coming.
What do you mean?
Our man didn't show because somebody tipped him off to show.
Think somebody in the Commission House slipped up?
Maybe not, Kurtz. Maybe we slipped up.
Maybe read it. What do you mean, Chase?
I'll tell you as soon as we find a photograph of Vic Morath, the real one from Rollo. It took almost 2 days. We went through newspaper files, leaders, publications, cattlemen and ranchers, journals, county fair souvenir books. Captain Simpson found what I was after.
Chase, look.
Morath, one of these? Yeah. Yeah, that's it, Captain. That's Morath in the Senate.
Group picture.
Who are the others?
Picture comes from a breeder journal. Captain says it's the Morath Ranch Rodeo King. Had the highest group score at the Laurel Rodeo in 1946, 2 years ago.
I want to see if Turner Chalmers, the banker, can identify Morath as the man who sold those cans.
Well, we know it wasn't Morath, Chase. The signatures didn't match.
You don't have to. Morath is left-handed. He might have endorsed the check with his right hand just to cover up.
Hey, Jace may have something there.
It's worth trying. Turner's been released. I'll call him at his ranch and have him meet us at his bank in Abilene. How about it, Stern? Is this the man, the bare-headed one in the Senate?
No. No, Ranger. I never saw him before.
How about you, Chalmers? Is this the man who presented the check?
No, no, it isn't.
Another washout, Chase.
Let me see a picture again.
Sure, here.
I'm not sure, but this fellow on the end, right here. Now, you look at it, Chalmers.
Why, yes. Yes, I believe that is the man.
One of the cowpokes, huh? Come on, Kurt. We're going to visit the sheriff at Rollo.
Yeah, I know that fella. Was working for Morath about a year ago. Bought himself a little ranch not far from Morath, over near Comanche Gulch.
Cowpoke has to be pretty thrifty to buy a ranch. What's his name?
Buzz Black.
Better get over to Comanche Gulch, Jace.
Yeah.
Sheriff?
Sure. Glad to pick service. Well, we're going to be able to tell Morath who's been using his name.
We don't have to tell him. I got a hunch he already knows.
What makes you say that?
Black didn't go back to pick up that check. Somebody warned him those cattle were getting hot. That means Morath.
But if he's in on it, why would he let Black use his name?
Because he's smart. Paul's signature makes him look like an innocent victim. His reputation is good.
And as soon as we went to him, he knew we were on the trail, and he told Black and the others to lay low.
Right. Let's get Black.
Just for obvious reasons. The amount of items are a matter of record. Well, that's the end of one story, and it jumped right to the next one. I never did that before. You probably don't want to hear 15 of them tonight. Okay. That's just about it. We're at 9:49, so that came up a little bit short. But we'll see you next week. We'll have Vera Lynn sign us off with her song, We'll Meet Again.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.